Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Naturopathic Futures podcast. I'm super excited today because I am in the presence of greatness just off the back of one of the best conferences of the year and so needed in our profession, the Pediatrics in Practice Conference. And I'm super honored that you have taken some time out from your day today, Sonia, to chat to us.
Such a pleasure. I'm actually hiding in a bedroom because it's school holidays.
Oh, real life.
Just real life. Yeah, I'm hiding from teenagers right now.
Kids, is that how you got into practice?
No, actually. I went and saw a naturopath when I had suddenly had a bit of a body change after starting hormonal therapy in my 20s.
Yeah, right.
And I was quite the party girl, working in advertising, having a really good time. And I went and met this amazing naturopath, a male naturopath as well, and John, and he was phenomenal. And I looked at him and I was like, I think I want to be a healer. It was literally this, I just want to be a healer, which I think is quite ironic now, right? I have different thoughts on that, but at the time that's what I was felt called to. And so I quit my job, started working at another job at a health food store and studied at night.
Wow. I was a work and study at the same time gal as well, but I was working in hospitals. How did your transition from working where you were into what you do now? How did that work out for you?
Yeah, I was really lucky. So I actually just thought I'll just work in a shop. And because I wanted flexibility, I didn't want anything too taxing. I knew I was going to be working at night. And then because of that shop, I actually hired some acupuncturists, some different health professions. And then I made friends with the health food store down below. And then they said they're opening a store. So I ended up working and managing this amazing health food store. And I met my biopharmaceuticals rep, who I just thought was the bomb. And I heard they were recruiting, and I, of course, as soon as I finished studying, I wanted to work for them.
Wow. So you're a networker from way back.
I know. Yeah, so I was like, take me. And at the time, Tammy, I really think it was Metagenics and Bioceuticals. There was that sort of...
They were the big two when the majority of us started that 20 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I want to be part of that. So I worked there on and off between babies. And I actually was invited to join the technical team because even though I'd been in the sales team, they were looking for someone that could do technical but also be nice to the customers.
Instead of the high IQ people can sometimes be a little blunt with their technical knowledge, but the people who have a nice mixture of EQ like you do are a little bit more emotionally intelligent to be able to deal with the beautiful practitioners that we have and the beautiful business owners in those larger places that Google's used to help. Yeah, I can imagine that they would have been very excited to have somebody who is more customer-centric.
Yes. So that was like doing another degree. That was the hardest thing at the time I'd done. Now that I've done pediatrics in practice, I'm like, oh, I've done another hard thing. Yay for me. And that was a huge learning for me. And it was really wonderful and I loved it. And within that time, I connected with a lot of the reps which is why I have this big network, Tammy, because I was the person that trained the reps when they joined. And then I would, of course, want to make friends with them all. And so now I have, because I love them and I love our profession, I love naturopaths, I love nutritionists. I think they're really cool. So I ended up becoming friends with everyone. And then in amongst that, I can keep seeing this bed. It's going to send me nuts.
it's all good. It's all good. You're doing great.
And so within that, the reason I was doing part-time work is that my eldest daughter, who's nearly 18 now, she had a sudden onset epilepsy. I wish I knew now. I knew, you know what I'm trying to say. I wish I knew even a
One
speck.
iota of what you know now. Yeah.
But even with all that lack of knowledge, we were still able to, of things like PANS. I'm just thinking about things like PANS, for example. I really feel like that was part of her picture and why she ended up having epilepsy or having seizures specifically. But what it did was it made me a warrior. It made me a advocate. It made me really good at looking for answers that weren't easy to find. And so I started to work in the epilepsy space, and literally people started hearing what I was doing and would refer to me, Tammy. I didn't call myself the epilepsy nutritionist until this year. That's how long it's taken me. But I built that business word of mouth, and I absolutely love working with a really complex population, actually. I love the mums and the dads and the families and supporting them. And we really relate to each other because obviously we've got shared lived experience that a lot of people don't necessarily have, especially even a child with a disability or an intellectual disability, Tammy. You don't necessarily meet that when you go to the school gate, right?
No, and you certainly don't in the consult room with the most of the healthcare providers. They're a healthcare provider expert who keeps their distance and doesn't share that kind of level of experience, like you said, lived experience. But you being a healthcare provider who has the lived experience, you have a level of empathy and understanding that other people just could possibly couldn't, having known what that must have felt like to get that diagnosis of epilepsy at such a young age for your daughter, and then the ongoing effects of, like you mentioned, PANS and other complications that happen, and that long-term impact on a family. You have that lived experience, and it's an incredible gift to be able to bring, I think, for any practitioner who has lived experience in something and then ends up helping and assisting families in that role.
And the care, like the feeling that I have for these people, and that's so true, Tammy. Like being able to support them from that emotional component, that sort of lived experience, is fantastic. And I'm really proud of that work. And I accidentally birthed pediatrics in practice.
Whoops, slipped over and boom, there was a new conference for kids in natural therapies.
So I had started to, I'm really lucky to also work in sales and education for iNutrients. And I started attending events from the perspective of the exhibitor. So I've always been that person who absolutely loves going to events, and we met that way. I heard this Tammy on FX Medicine. I thought she was super cool. She was talking about an event. I was like, I'm going to that. I want to meet. I love that you were doing that. I was taking our profession seriously, being business people as opposed to hobbyists. So I immediately loved your message. I really like going to events because I get to see people and have a chat and
It
make new
feeds
friends.
that networking and EQ that you have.
And I always pick up a friend, and I really like that. And so I had experience of going to events. I had experience of being the behind the scenes as an exhibitor, but not behind the scenes as in creating an event. And so I could see that there was a real place for practitioners to access non-biased education that I also wanted to have that business, which was I only had a smidgen of business, but I love hearing about other practitioners' businesses and how they run them and what are their insights. I created this event for students, for practitioners. So we could ask the people in my little black book and the connections that I've made in the industry, we could ask them the questions, but also listen to them about their sort of favorite topic or topic of choice. Because again, we all get a little bit excited about what we're truly passionate in, and then that's really contagious.
Absolutely. And kids is such an unserviced area in natural health. Yeah, sure, we've had the occasional webinar and things like that, but they're forever the newest population that keeps coming through and coming through. And there is so much more that we're learning about the layers and complexity of their lived experience, their diversity, their neurodiversity, we have so many other layers, and they're not just small humans. There is so much more in the developmental biology and things like that's coming out. So I had the honor of coming to the conference as well, and it was brilliant. It was such a great day. And even hearing things like pediatric pathology reference ranges, pediatric microbiome changes, they are a really different cohort. And to have an entire day committed to the health and well-being of pediatrics was just such a gift. I'm so excited about the continuation of the conference. But I wanted to touch back.
Next. Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to touch back on the fact that you went straight out into being a rep. Now, lots of practitioners who are listening, and the old school way we're taught is sit across the desk from a client, blah, 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 blah. I have only been banging on about this for 15 years that it is an old model, but okay, let's get back to it. So, how would you say going straight in as practitioner support role was rewarding for you? Was that an amazing, like, what's your version of that? How did you feel about that? Because I know that having read a lot of things in the Naturopreneur Hub and other things where people are like, I did my degree and I'm not being a clinician because X, Y, or Z, life happens, or I found out this part of my personality doesn't suit it, or my entire nervous system can't possibly handle doing that. So I'm going to go into a different role in the profession, but I feel like I'm either a failure or I feel like I'm different to everybody. How did that show up for you? What was that like for you?
That was such a great question. Firstly, nothing like a mortgage to get you to really think outside. Let me
Excellent. Let's get
real.
real. Yes.
I'd worked full time that whole time I was studying. There was a level of what can I do next? And also, I looked at these supplement companies and I was like, I want to see what's behind there. And because I'd been in a business model as well, like I'd come from being in a very corporate environment, I wasn't scared of corporate. So that was how that eventuated. But I was actually not technical straight away. I was a CRM. So I was in the office supporting the reps in Queensland and then doing outbound phone calls. Like, how scary is that? Doing really, but you know what I do now? I'm doing outbound phone calls and, you know,
Absolutely. These skills are
hello.
transferable in so
Yeah.
many different seasons of our
I
career.
really want to, yeah, to call up an exhibitor or call up a company or reach out on LinkedIn to your ideal company you want to have as part of your event. That's all BDM sales, like putting yourself out there, super scary, but rip the band-aid, keep going.
Yeah.
So that really, yeah, so learning those skills was amazing. I absolutely felt like a failure that I wasn't in clinical practice. So,
Ah, so you did get that.
So I started practicing one day a week, and because I'm a nutritionist, I went out and I contacted gyms and I created relationships. So again, it's about reaching out, looking in your network, who do you have connections with? And so I had my business there. So again, was doing nothing about epilepsy because I was in total survival mode at that moment as well. And yeah, so it just very organically grew. But I did leave technical and I was like, peace out, everyone. I'm going to practice. This is my dream. I'm ready. Like I wanted to do it more than what I was doing one day a week or whatever I was doing. And that was extremely rewarding. And that's how I met Em Sutherland and became part of her family. I was going to say family,
Clinic
but
family, love it, yes.
family, yeah. And so that was incredible working with a mentor. I think it's a really great idea. It's a clinical mentor for me was what I really wanted. And also, Em is an incredible businesswoman as well. She built Studio U. So I was really lucky. I had a business mentor and a clinical mentor in one. I loved that. But after COVID, we all went online. And then for me, I was rattling around in this house with my, I was going to say, with my personality. And I
Which is one that is very much in need of other humans' input, by the sounds of things. Your networking, your empathy, your emotional intelligence all needs other people to feed off. So I can hear that, yeah. And there'll be a lot of people listening who feel exactly the same.
Yeah, it's like I actually really miss humans. Not that you don't have them in clinical practice, you absolutely do. But again, working with this really complex population post-COVID, like I was pretty exhausted, Tammy. I had done postgraduate nutrition, graduate certificate in nutrition. I was supporting a child with a disability through COVID. We decided to renovate. I was like completely burnt out, and I just didn't want to do. I just didn't have the energy for like clinic because as you're constantly feeding in and strategy and planning and burnt out. That was pretty much where I was at. So I was lonely and burnt out, and I decided I really wanted to work in a team again.
Beautiful. And then you created your own team to bring into the conference setting. Incredible.
And we're a
What's
tiny team, by the way. That was like me and two people working on it on the side. So it
Yeah,
was
I understand that really well.
really.
And a
You get
husband
it.
that is really supportive in the background.
And my husband, and you know what, Tammy, that was so great that you shared that insight with me. It's funny what you shared that people remember or gravitate to or is what they need at the time. Because I was trying to exclude my husband a bit and go, this is my event. And no, and not in that. And I'm like, you don't understand. It's not your industry, like that sort of stuff. As soon as I included him and he became my co-author and supporter, I had so many great results and things that I probably should have had him help me from the beginning.
We're
That's okay.
not going to tell them all, but they do have a zone of genius in and of themselves, don't they?
And he was there on the day, and I said to him, these are your 2 days. You are literally working for me. And he was so good. He's such a good worker. And he loved the event just as much as me. And he went up to Margot and was like, you've really opened my eyes to how I've been talking about food with my daughters and even things around anxiety and what we're saying to our kids. So he sat there and really drew all this juicy information from the presenters as well. Having this small team made me have to get inventive and recruit my husband as
I
my
love that
worker.
though. I think there's when we do a review and renew or a reflection on how our events go, we often ask about what was the collateral beauty. There's collateral damage and everyone freaks out about collateral damage, but collateral beauty, what was the collateral beauty? What was like the oh, by the off chance that and exactly what you just described about the ripple effect of having those conversations and having him in the room is so much broader and deeper for your family that he was there for that. That's an incredible little nugget that fell out from the sides there.
Yeah, I loved that too. And yeah, so him sitting through everything, but also what I didn't expect, Tammy, and it's made me really overwhelmed is the only word. And I can imagine, I'm like, this is must be what Tammy feels. The love from everyone, everyone clapping. I'm like, stop it. This is embarrassing. I'm an extrovert, but that was hard to except which says a lot, but it was a good learning on a personal level. I'm like, oh, I need to receive this love. This is amazing. The tidal wave of love and support and people wanting to support me and my dream was phenomenal. I never expected that. And that's been collateral beauty. This, and yeah, I was so scared that no one would like it. That,
But
yeah, to
isn't that
risk.
the case with everything, right? I'm going to go and work in a gym as a nutritionist. I'm so scared no one's going to like it. They're going to think I'm a woo-woo freak and I'm not lifting weights. I'm so scared that no one's going to like me inside biopharmaceuticals. And then all of a sudden you go from CRM to rep to technical. And then I'm so scared that I'm going to just label myself the epilepsy nutritionist. And nobody's going to like it. And then what do you know? This follow through. I find this is a standard thing across the board with most practitioners. And I certainly have had exactly the same fears. And every time it happens, that lean in to growth zone rather than just in our comfort zone is such a, it's so scary. And it's, but on the flip side of it, on the other side, when you do take that inspired action, it is so rewarding, so rewarding.
Yeah, and I think there's that real classic feel the fear and do it anyway. Like, you're gonna, there's always gonna be stretchy moments. And I was lucky that I decided, okay, if I'm gonna do this, who's gonna help me through that stretch? And I immediately reached out to you, didn't I? I was like, Tammy knows how to throw an event in our industry, and she's done it alone. You created these events. So I'm like, if there's anyone I'm going to go to and say, tell me if this is a bad idea or a good idea, because I think it's a good idea. And you were like, go for it.
Yeah,
But
such a
going
need.
to people who've done what you've done, or they don't have to do what you do exactly, right? It's just, but also just having someone or a space to go to be able to ask questions or, yeah, that
It
take help. You through the stretch is the only way I could say it.
Loops back to what you were saying before about the lived experience, how wonderful it is for complex pediatrics cases, particularly in the epilepsy space, for them to come in and see you is because is so much deeper because they're coming and getting advice from somebody who's been in their shoes, who has walked that walk. And similarly, you're doing exactly the same thing. You're finding the right person to help you who has the lived experience that you're looking for support in. I love that. Now, tell us, have you got
Yeah.
any ideas about the future of pediatrics in practice? What's happening? I don't even know. I'm really quite excited to hear.
So I was putting a lot of pressure on myself to know what's next. And again, my husband came to me and he said, just experience this event, see what comes from it, and then make a plan. And as a Virgoan woman, that is the worst advice. I'm like, what do you mean there's
I
not a
want the
plan?
next steps in a spreadsheet now.
So what I plan to do is I will have another event next year. I
Next year. Wow. Excellent.
haven't chosen a date. I don't know when I will choose a date. Something
Beautiful.
in me is percolating. Something's percolating. But in October, I plan to launch some online training from other practitioners that I really admire. So, again, it's going out to people who I believe could really help our fellow practitioners. But I really want to expand who's delivering the training to us as well, Tammy. So, I was very clear in my message for pediatrics in practice that I wanted it to be clinicians or Rebecca Edwards, phenomenal educator, but practitioners that really have lived and breathed pediatric work, so that I really settled on the naturopaths and nutritionists. But I really feel that there's other allied health that can really help support our clinical outcomes for kids. So things like speech therapists, OTs, chiros, osteos, like
Oh, I
how
love that. Clinicians for clinicians, but
clinicians.
that is a doozy of a ripple effect to network with those types of people in the room. Fantastic, Sonia.
Yeah, I've really, and that was something that I learned over time as well, Tammy. Like, I decided I want this event for naturopaths and nutritionists. And then as I went along, I'm like, I still want that for us, but I really want to open it up and expand because I know I'm constantly learning from other allied health professionals. So being able to expand that offering, maybe do 2 days, I don't know if I could cope, but.
Let's go one step at a time, but I love your vision.
Yeah. Wait, no, don't say 2 days and I've got to do 2 days. No. Everyone wanted more. Everyone was like, loved it, wanted more.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so cool. So yeah, that's where I see it. But as you can hear, it's all
Yeah,
percolating.
percolating. But this is the
Not a big
beautiful
burst
thing.
yet.
This is only 2 weeks out at the time of the recording that you are listening to at the moment. And this is what happens after you run an in-person workshop, a retreat, or a conference. There is such a beautiful momentum and such a ripple effect that you're still feeling and you're still settling into and you're still integrating. And it's such a privilege to be talking to you in this beautiful liminal space that you have. It's as it's all settling. I really appreciate your insights today, Sonia, and thank you so much for sharing. I'm really looking forward to seeing where pediatrics in practice continues to grow, that ripple effect. And I was really grateful for you showing up the way that you have to create this spark in the community so that we can really support the kids that and the families that we do, the work that we do. Thank you so much, Sonia.